I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a sign of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
So during the break, Sean and I tried to find an app comparison to what we discussed in the previous segment.
It is so stupid.
It's so stupid. It broke our brains, and anything we tried was so convoluted, it didn't make any sense to really put it out there.
Or it made more sense.
It didn't make more sense. It didn't fit what Jalen McMillan actually did.
Yeah. What we were doing was making more sense than what Jalen McMillan
did. Yeah, that's our problem. We're too logical when it comes to that particular celebration. So we won't bring any more of that. Just know what he did was dumb. It's stupid to celebrate your first touchdown that way.
His first career NFL touchdown.
It's what you'll be remembered for. No matter what happens the rest of your life, the highlight of you catching that touchdown pass will have to be edited to remove your stupidity from the equation. That's all. All right. Unless there's some secret that we don't know about, and he's a secret Ohio State fan, but even still, it's so secret, no one knows about it.
That would also be crazy because he's from Fresno, California.
Well, maybe he's a front runner. It happens. It happens. But moving on, someone who did not play at Ohio State is pretty good on TV and doesn't do very dumb things that I can remember is Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning on ManningCast, and we're watching the highlights of the Jets 49ers right now. He, at least I am. Sean doesn't have access to ESPN. He has a direct TV feed in there. I'm lucky to have YouTube TV.
I'm watching Aaron Rodgers' post-game press conference on mute right now.
You're better off, to be honest. But Peyton Manning was not on mute during the middle of the game, and I think it was in the first half, or maybe even the first drive of the second half for the 49ers. They were looking to put a touchdown up on the board. I don't remember exactly the drive, but Brandon Ayuk drops a touchdown pass. It would have been a nice catch. He had to dive. In fact, I think he lost it before he even hit the ground. Nice throw by Brock Purdy. We heard from Julian, the 49er fan, earlier, and Brock Purdy just did what he had to do. Nothing spectacular. They ran the football great. He made some throws when he needed to. The 49ers controlled that game from the moment that the Jets took a 7-3 lead. But we know Peyton Manning, not a guy to hold back, and he didn't hold back on Brandon Ayuk after his drop.
Jennings. Oh, what a throw. Ayuk, he's a little rusty, Pate. You know, he's missed all training camp.
Hey, get signed, get in training camp. There's a reason for training camp. You need it. We need the reps.
Oh.
Get those contracts done earlier so we can get in training camp. We don't drop balls on opening night.
Right, it's probably one thing catching passes, running routes. All of a sudden you're laying out for a pass, full speed, diving. That's why those happen in camp. You make those, you practice those. That's just a little rusty right there.
You're still catching balls in a high school field from some quarterback that's 45 years old, my age. You're not catching balls from your quarterback. Get signed, get in camp, and we don't drop the ball.
Peyton, very assertive. If he was a current player, he wouldn't have said a word because no players talk about other players' money that way. I think it happened once. Like, I think maybe the Steelers offensive line has something to say about Le'Veon Bell, an offensive lineman. But other than that, current players ain't going to talk like that about another player's money.
45 years old your age, Peyton?
How old is Peyton Manning?
He's 48.
Taking a couple years off
Peyton. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I love that. That's like me saying I'm 25.
No. I mean,
I'm 28.
Yeah.
I'm 28.
Yeah. My age. Well, around your age, Peyton. You could have said that. He's got a job to do. He's got to be assertive. He's got to say things. But it's just the difference between being a guy who's on who's an active player and a guy who's doing that job. Peyton Manning, other than when he's talking about his kicker, I don't remember him ever being that critical. Did he ever say anything about Edgerrin James? Maybe Edgerrin James never held out. But I don't remember him talking about other people's money until he got in this position.
It feels like something that he would say on a phone call
privately,
with
Reggie
Wayne.
I need you out there.
Whoever.
Yeah.
Probably not Marvin Harrison. I would kind of leave him alone.
He didn't say Marvin Harrison's name unless he was going, good job, Marvin.
I think this is why Peyton's pretty good at this, or at least good at the Manning cast, is because what other color commentary guy, like Troy Aikman, doesn't say that?
He would have never
said that.
And
Troy Aikman's awesome. Like,
yeah.
But Brady doesn't say
that. Well, Brady's not awesome, at least not yet.
Romo doesn't say
that. But Troy Aikman's not in a place. He's calling the game. And I don't think in his position he can be a guy who's talking about, well, if he was in camp and was practicing, he might not have dropped it. But I don't think that's what he's there for.
I think he could bring it up. Like, he doesn't have to be as forceful as it. Like, Peyton Manning's, like, lecturing Brandon Ayuk.
Twice.
He was
so upset he did it twice.
I think that's one where Troy Aikman could drop a... And you have to wonder, Joe.
Yeah, if you have to wonder, he could have got away with doing that.
You have to wonder, Joe.
If he was in camp and practicing, maybe he makes that play.
Because it's hard. Moving full speed, game speed, it's different.
Yeah, but he would not have mentioned... Get signed.
He wouldn't have camp.
He wouldn't have said it that way. You're right.
Don't have a 45-year-old throwing you passes like my age.
Yeah, I'm
Troy Aikman. I'm 45 years old. And
yeah, you're right. Troy would, if he would have got to it, he would have did it in a more delicate manner. Peyton Manning don't have to do that. And I credit his brother. Eli set him up. He probably knew Peyton was upset about this and go, oh, Peyton.
As a person who, when it was the Paul Gallant show, would regularly, I know what winds up Paul, and so I just lob him, lob him a grenade like that. That's exactly what Eli Manning did.
Hey, look, it's Chris Paul in Lob City era. It's Sean Mapes throwing a lob to Paul Gallant or Blake Griffin. Yeah, now I see it. I credit both of those guys. Peyton, Eli knew what his brother would rail on, and Peyton dunked it, flushed it, while Bill Belichick is sitting there going, I heard Bill Belichick make a sound.
He mumbled.
Yeah. Ooh. Hey, Rocky, cut it out. Enunciate. I caught some of that last week, if you remember. But I don't watch Manning Cast, but mostly because I'll just get the clips. I don't have to watch Manning Cast. If they do anything, I'll get it. I know a lot of people are like, man, it's great. I can't. I'm just going to watch the game. Joe Buck and Aikman are fine.
I watched it before they had Buck and Aikman.
Understandable.
They kind of took their own audience away from Manning Cast when they upgraded the booth.
Yeah, and I think that particular show at this point, at least for me, is a social viral clip show now.
Like,
those guys will say something, and
that and the Kelce Brothers show.
Has
anyone ever listened to that?
It's never even crossed my mind to go into Spotify or Apple and go, let's take a listen to what the Kelce Brothers have to say.
I want to spend the next 45 minutes to an hour listening to the Kelce Brothers.
No, if you're not going to talk about what you're doing at the U.S. Open with Taylor Swift, I got no interest. Like, if Travis Kelce decided he was going to make that podcast, and of course it would end his relationship pretty quickly, if he was going to make it like a log of everything he does with Taylor Swift, I would listen. Not because I care that much about Taylor Swift, but I'm trying to figure out how big the hole he would dig for himself. But he's not going to do it because he knows better, so I'm not going to listen to the two brothers go back and forth. I don't care. But a lot of people do. $100 million for them.
Another show like that is the Paul George podcast, where I feel like, especially we, because he seems to mention the Rockets a lot.
He loves himself some Shingun.
Yeah, where we play the podcast clips so much on the station. Not so much on the station. But
when he says something, it comes up.
A lot.
Yeah, we'll play it.
On the station. And I, every once in a while, I'll go back and listen, or I'll listen when there's like a guest that I think there might be a clip for it or something. It is a terrible show.
Oh, listen.
It is so
boring. The whole thing is not good?
It is so boring. A lot of times it's just two random guys that
his
are
buddies, right?
I guess Paul George's friends. Although one of them, I'm like, I don't know how you would have ever met Paul George before in your life.
Maybe it was his chef at some point.
Yeah, I hope one day to be that guy on an athlete podcast.
It's probably a great gig.
And they're just asking Paul George questions, and he's kind of answering them pretty diplomatically.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how the Jeff Teague podcast goes.
That one's different.
Okay, because I only hear the clips too, but I imagine Jeff Teague is just saying a lot of wild stuff, and we just pick and choose what gets played.
Which stories get played.
Yeah. There was one. It's probably an old one. It just popped up on my timeline yesterday, maybe the day before. He explained why he body checked LeBron during a playoff game out of bounds. It was like late in the game. It was in Atlanta. They're down 0-2 as they would be because LeBron dominated the Hawks.
I think Jeff Teague never beat LeBron in the playoffs.
And he mentioned it. He goes, hey, because his buddy or whoever was on the show with him asked, hey, man, why'd you body check LeBron that one time? And he goes, I was mad. I never beat that. So I just wanted to get some get back, pretty much.
Jeff Teague would be played a lot more. Like, we would play Jeff Teague clips a lot more if cursing was down.
If he stopped using a particular word.
50%.
Yeah, and because all it is beep, beep, beep. And that adds to it. Like, if you're listening to it without the restrictions of radio, it's great. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's a lot of a person
be Morse code
talking normally, but just so happens the rules don't – those rules, they don't have any. The rules we have doesn't allow us to play it. So – get into camp, get your ass signed, so you'll catch more passes from the quarterback who delivers a great one, according to Peyton Manning. I figured Peyton Manning would be upset by a wide receiver holding out. He can't be happy about the wide receiver situation right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wonder what he thinks about Ja'Marr Chase.
There's no chance. If the Bengals were on Monday and got beat 16-10, he would have had to say. He wouldn't blame Joe Burrow, who a lot of people are going after. He would talk about how can you build any camaraderie and consistency if your star receiver's in and out? And hell, T. Higgins didn't play in the game. What are you raising your arms for in triumph for?
Guess who's on Monday Night Football in week 3?
Is it the Bengals? Well, maybe they've got
Commanders Bengals, which is not a good game. But,
why would they choose? I get Jaden Daniels as a rookie, but why would they put that game on?
There's no quicker whiplash between week 1, the NFL slate, where you can tell they really put effort into making interesting matchups good and interesting matchups. If you think about, like, obviously the kickoff game, Sunday Night Football,
Rams, Lions,
Monday Night Football is the least interesting.
Aaron Rodgers going to San Francisco.
Even the noon slate, like, there's mostly pretty good games.
Sure. And this plus is
with
week one.
They have to deal with.
So anything, we'll take anything week one.
But
yeah,
but even like they throw in a Colts Texans game, like they just throw in, and then week 2 is just like, oh my god, what are these matchups?
Because everything's built around the big time matchups, either later in the year or on Sunday night. So now you've got to manage everything. We're getting Bengals and Commanders in week 3.
Week 3, Monday night.
Look,
football.
The Bengals all generally start slow in the Joe Burrow era, particularly the last couple of years.
So they'll be competitive.
They get going later in the year. It might be competitive. It won't be good football. That's the problem.
We have a Chargers Panthers next week.
What are we doing? Well, they got to play it at some point. But the fact that the Commanders and Bengals are on a primetime game.
Seahawks Patriots. They're going to show the Malcolm Butler interception a bunch.
I'm sure.
Jacoby Brissett is going up against Geno Smith.
Well, they're both 1-0. So they do have an undefeated matchup.
Undefeated matchup. Yeah, undefeated matchup. Probably the two teams that look the best on Sunday.
Well,
Cowboys Saints.
Well, somehow the Saints kicked the crap out of the Panthers when their quarterback didn't even make it past 200 yards passing. Did not matter. The Saints dominated that game.
Steelers Broncos.
Hey, don't depress everyone. Everyone loves the NFL. What are you doing? Let it be a surprise when they actually start to look at next week's schedule. Oh, what the hell? What is all this?
There's some interesting games.
Hell, even Texans Bears, considering what we saw from
the
Bears.
One. It's not like gross like some of these, but it's weird.
Yeah, it's not gross, but the fact that the Bears quarterback, number one overall pick, yeah, I don't need to explain to you why they made the matchup just after week one, despite winning the game. It was not impressive from their offense and their quarterback in general. We'll see. Maybe he'll be much better. And we know the Texans had some issues covering guys, so maybe Caleb Williams will have an opportunity to hit some balls or hit some passes down the field. The unfortunate thing for him is it looks like Roma Dunze one of his young weapons won't be available. If you want to get in on anything, 713-780-3776. Buster Olney has an article in ESPN discussing what we've talked about quite a bit here on the station. Certainly yesterday and in the days last week about Justin Verlander and his status for potential playoff rotation for the Houston Astros. We'll get into that when we come back.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are.
No, not really.
Welcome back. And the article about Verlander from Buster Olney, I mean, it goes into the numbers, and we know they're not great. In fact, in some cases, just terrible, particularly recently. The outing against the Diamondbacks was rough. I talked about it yesterday. It was because of how they mic'd the field, but woof, were those hard-hit balls. Like thunder, the sound of the crack of the bat. But the article goes into what Verlander's trying to do to fix things, and a lot of it just sounds like an old guy talking about the body being different. He mentions in the article that he's working on his posture because that's affecting his neck. It's part of the reason why he has had to deal with that issue throughout the season. Apparently, he slept on his stomach his whole life, and now he's changing it. He's going to try to sleep on his side and his back. Just a lot of conversations from an older player, sounding like an old guy, trying to find a way to work his way through. And this isn't me wanting to slander Verlander, but you listen to all this stuff, and it's like, yeah, 36-year-old Verlander wasn't having these conversations. He was one of the best pitchers in baseball. And now he is struggling and using, according to him, he's using these starts to kind of work through his own personal spring training. Of course, that's not great for the Astros because they're still trying to compete. Not only as they fend off the Mariners, they're trying to catch someone for at least a 2-seed. So when you have a guy who you're going to almost be forced to put out there every day, every 4 days or 5 days now, they're going back to the 6-man rotation here. It's not comforting where he's going to treat these as practice outings almost to try to figure himself out so he's ready for the postseason. And, of course, that brings up the question of whether he'll be the guy that's on a postseason roster, but that's a question that we've discussed, and it'll be something that he has to pitch himself out of possibly being left off. But that's where we are. We're working on posture. We're going to sleep differently and see how things work out. Cool.
Yeah. During the break, I was telling Dell, I think we're getting a Chris Paul-like story.
Del. You didn't tell me this.
What?
I'm Dell. You were talking to me about the Chris Paul thing?
Yeah.
In the break?
A Chris Paul-like story where in the offseason, Justin Verlander is going to go vegan or something to try to get his body right.
Oh, that was in a previous break. Okay, I got what you're saying.
Yeah.
I don't remember that happening in this last break, but I don't remember a lot of things 2 minutes after they happened.
That's when we were talking about Justin Verlander.
Oh. I still don't remember having that conversation with you, unfortunately. Okay.
I was because I said he's going to, you know, next spring training, we're going to get the story about, you know, how he's eating different, how he's, you know, stretching or something, some new calisthenics, and you asked me, is there going to be a next year for Justin Verlander?
Okay, now I remember it. Now you've enlightened me to that conversation that I forgot that happened like 5 minutes ago for some reason. Probably less than that. Yeah. And you think he's going to come back for another year someplace. I'm not so sure.
I think he's going to – just because – We see it this year with the Astros. I'm not saying he's coming back to specifically the Astros, but a team like the Astros where you're good. I think MLB teams need to start planning for needing 8 or 9 starting pitchers to get through a season. And at a certain point, can Verlander be on one of these giant staffs where, hey, he's going to probably need an IL stint at some point, or, hey, we can't really depend on him. We're probably going to have to go to a 6-man, or, you know, we're just trying to get any innings we can. Verlander is going to, if he wants it, he is going to get a job next offseason.
I think name alone will certainly get him a contract. Now, whether the contract is something that he likes and he's willing to take.
Yeah, he's not getting another Mets deal.
Yeah, that's a different story, but I'm sure someone will go, hey.
Shoot, the Mets might give him a deal.
What do they have to lose at this point? I'm sure there will be offers. The question will be when he's getting an offer that's below what has been his market value, will he take it? Or maybe he'll just decide, enough. I've done enough. I don't want to pitch anymore. Maybe how the rest of this month goes may determine that. And do we feel better or worse that he thinks he's good physically? Beyond the jokes I'm making, although they're real in the article, about him sleeping a different way to help his posture, he said he felt good physically. And he said the fastball felt crisper. Didn't matter, though, as he was rocked. So he likes how he feels. We just don't like the results. That's where we are right now.
Yeah, the thing about spring training games is normally we don't care if the Astros win or lose spring training games. And September games, especially this season, whether the Astros win or lose super matter.
Matters
matters a lot.
So you're, at this point, fifth starter as far as likelihood of a win with him on the mound is out there telling the world, yeah, I'm just using it to get right. I don't like that.
Yeah, can he pitch better? By the way, when he first came back from the IL stint, those two games were way better than his most recent two games. It's not like he's slowly progressing to getting better.
He's regressing.
He's getting worse every time he goes
out. It's not comforting. And the last outing was one where we talked about yesterday where the ESPN crew was like doing a eulogy on Verlander, almost saying, is he a guy who you can put in the rotation for the playoffs? The answer right now is no. The only way he gets in, and he's pitching so poorly that he can't even put the Astros in a tough position to, hey, you know, we're going to put him on because he's Verlander, or not put him on and have that tough conversation. The results are obvious right now, where if he doesn't pitch better, then no one's going to even have a real expectation that he's on the playoff roster. He's got to pitch better. He knows it. Everyone knows it, and we'll see if he can get it done. The results right now suggest that he won't, but all it takes is that next start to that little spark of hope, right?
Momentum is next day's starter. That's what you're saying.
Sure. I am saying that.
He's going to get some momentum when he faces, I don't know who the Astros play next. I mean, they play the A's starting tonight. Yeah, but
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who he faces. The Verlander we saw, now the Diamondbacks are a good hitting team.
Yeah.
The Verlander we saw on Sunday night is not someone who the opponent matters that much.
Oh, he'll get right against the Angels. You kidding me?
Okay. We better hope.
I am hoping.
Yeah, you're not confident of that.
I just said it.
Yeah.
It's just a thing I said.
Yeah. And hopefully that is the case, because we talked about it yesterday. Don't boo Justin Verlander because he's struggling. It is, I would say, beneath Houston fans, but all fans are different, and fans just react to things without thinking. And the thought that it would even cross your mind to go boo Justin Verlander because he struggles on a Sunday against the Diamondbacks is nuts to me. You don't have, they're like me, no memory, apparently. But I do remember what he did in the playoffs. I just don't remember a conversation I had 4 minutes ago.
Oh, okay. So you wouldn't have been booing, because by the time Pavin Smith
I would have forgotten his first home run.
Wait, what happened?
Wait a minute. Why is it 8-0? What's going on here? I would have forgotten that, but not what he did in those two playoff runs that got you World Series titles. But that's where we are right now. Booing a legend, booing a guy who some people think is going into the Hall of Fame as an Astro, but you're really upset because, God forbid, the 40-plus-year-old pitcher is struggling. But, hey, you're within your rights, as long as you don't do the wave, apparently. We got a couple more seconds to go before we wrap it up, but I did want to get to this before we go. I wouldn't advise betting on a Verlander start, not a successful one, because there's no evidence of that. But I bring it up because you can do that at MyBookie. You can bet on pretty much anything at MyBookie. That's why you know the tagline. You can bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie. And they're giving you different options to do that. If you haven't heard, you should know about this. MyBookie is giving away hundreds of thousands in prizes with their Superior Survivor and Squares contest. You can join in now for your shot at huge cash rewards. I talked about it before, but with the Thursday night football game coming up, you can bet big on that with their weekly risk-free boost on Thursdays. You can bet without a sweat. If you bet and it hits big, it's great for you. That's your money. If it doesn't, forget it. MyBookie will refund your wager. Yeah, I'm not lying. Get in on that on Thursday. You can use that promo code BET975 as well to get some extra bank for your first deposit, MyBookie does offer you bonus options, and they make it easy to deposit with crypto or with credit. Remember the MyBookie Plus program. It's a new loyalty program, and the more you win, or at least the more you play, the more you win. And it's pretty simple. You can climb through their tiers of that loyalty rewards program to unlock even more epic promotions. Just remember, MyBookie Plus is the name of that program. Bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
We are getting ever closer to the Listener Appreciation Party. That'll be September 20th. That's a Friday, so two Fridays from today. So here's your chance to win a pair of tickets. If you want to go and meet us, Sean and I will be there. Well, I can't guarantee Sean will be there. In fact, he should be there because he's going to do a show. But
yes,
there's some time between now and Friday, next two Fridays from today. Oh, so we never know what's going to happen.
Okay.
We never know. So I'm not going to guarantee it. He's expected to be there. I'm going to treat you like you're Lauryn Hill. We expect him to be there, but we're just not sure.
You're telling me that it starts at 4 o'clock, so I get there at 6.
Sean has been instructed that the Listener Appreciation Party will actually cut into our normal broadcast day just to make sure, he tries to be 3 hours late, he's actually there on time. So 713-780-3776. Caller 4 wins a pair of tickets to the Listener Appreciation Party. Remember, you must be 21 plus to attend. And if you don't win tickets with us right now, if you're not caller 4, head to ESPN975.com under the promotions tab to secure your tickets now. We're all going to be there for the most part. I think John is even going to be back from LA Johnny. So you get to see and meet John if you so choose, and Lance and all the luminaries who happen to grace your radios on a day-to-day basis will be here. Check us out. You can see what we do, how we do it. You won't be that impressed, but at least you'll get to see the seats we sit in. And you'll see a live show going on. You'll get drinks. You'll get food. Should be a good time. And remember, if you are driving around the city, and in some cases, one station, 97.5 or 92.5, doesn't come in great. If you have an HD2 or an HD radio, in one of the newer cars, you can listen to us on 97.9 HD2. Now, it cuts in maybe a beat or two after you turn it on, so don't immediately turn away if you don't hear it initially. But if you have the ability to listen to HD radio, go to HD2 97.9. You'll be able to hear us loud and clear no matter what. Back in the day when there were regional broadcasts for football games, if you're in the West Coast, you only got to see Pac-10 games. Or if you're in the southern part of the country, you only got to see SEC games. This is the national broadcast, 97.9. Goes throughout the city of Houston as opposed to east or west like 97.5 and 92.5 do. So take a listen. Clear and crisp. No issues there. If you can do that, do that. It'll make your drive pretty good. All right. We do have a winner there. Appreciate everyone calling in. And we'll be giving away tickets on this show leading up to the day. Also, all the other shows on the station will be doing that too. So you're going to get chances to win. And like I said, if you don't want to wait, you can go to 97.5.com under the promotions tab, ESPN975.com under the promotions tab, and get your tickets that way. And Sean's getting the winner there, so cool. There's some sound out of Cleveland that we'll get to here. In fact, actually, we'll do Stephon Diggs, because I did say that. And sometimes I have a problem mentioning things very early in the show and not playing the sound. So we'll do this here. Different receiver. Tank Dell did say some things about being ready for prime time, and that's pretty much the gist of what he said. But Stephon Diggs, after the game on Sunday, talked about the offensive line play, and that was probably my biggest surprise from the game. Their ability to dominate the Colts running the football. Joe Mixon was great. Leads the league in rushing after a week. He said he loved playing in a big boy offense. He played a lot of shotgun spread stuff in Cincinnati because that's what Joe Burrow likes. So he wasn't seeing a guy lined up in front of him like a fullback or tight end fullback type leading the way. He was thrilled to play in a big boy offense. And he credited the offensive line, and so did Stephon Diggs. Here's Stephon Diggs after the game on the offensive line's play.
O-line. You got to give the O-line his credit. I mean, we get all, the hoopla. We got the celebrations and all that. But the game is won up front. Playing on the other side of the scrimmage, line of scrimmage is huge. Our O-line dropped their nuts when they had to.
That they did. Who was the biggest dropper on? I'm going to go Kenyon Green. Kenyon Green, the physicality that he played with, considering the expectations of him, he was the biggest dropper.
So they dropped the most.
He dropped the most, yes.
They're starting at a higher place and dropped lower than anyone else.
We've expected great things from Laremy Tunsil. I mean, false starts included. If we're talking about the guy who made the most precipitous drop, it's Kenyon Green. A spectacular performance by him. Credit to that offensive line for paving the way.
Great droppage.
I mean, if we're considering. I mean, sometimes it's all about what we expect and then what happens.
Yeah, Juice Scruggs deserves a little bit.
Yeah, sure. But Juice Scruggs wasn't under the same scrutiny as Kenyon Green. Guy who hadn't been healthy for a couple of years, looked to be a poor fit for the offense the way it had changed once they hired D'Amico Ryans and hired Bobby Slowick. But his droppage is like from Yosemite down to sea level. If we're using Stephon Diggs' vernacular.
Yeah, which we are.
Which we are, clearly.
We're going to use it for a while, something tells me.
Yeah, I don't think that's leaving this show's verbiage anytime soon.
Keys for the Bears-Texans game. Well, you know.
I need Juice Scruggs to drop. Drop like Kenyon Green's dropped on Sunday against the Colts.
Honestly, you watch how the Titans front was treating the Chicago Bears O-line.
Mm-hmm.
They need to drop theirs a little
bit. Hey, Bears. Hey, why do you keep talking like this? maybe you guys need to drop.
Drop.
I mean, drop. I think, Stephon Diggs caught two touchdown passes, but your biggest contribution for this show is that line. I don't care what you do on the field. Keep dropping lines like that. Are we going to have droppage rankings week to week?
Who dropped the most?
Oh, that's another reason why they would throw me out of there right now. Hey, Stephon Diggs, you said that the O-line dropped last week. How would you rank the droppages?
Yeah, who do you think dropped the most?
Yeah, and will they change week to week? Like, is this week a Shaq Mason week? Is someone going to win an award for per week for this?
I can't
wait. Like Kyle Brandt does angry runs, and he gives the angriest runner a scepter. Are we going to give someone truck nuts? Can we get a sponsor for this segment? Can I get someone who has
can we
truck
get
nut?
Car toys? Or
yeah,
something?
We can give a text and they can come in on a Tuesday because they have the day off, and we hand them the truck nuts award for the biggest drop of on Sunday or Monday, depending on when they play.
Yeah, because they're primetime.
They will have some primetime games.
Yeah, I like this. Day after Christmas.
Hey, Sam.
After the Ravens game.
Hey, Sam, I know it's not our day, but you want to put this segment on YouTube? See how that goes for you? Because I don't talk to John and Lance about this, but there is to take you behind the scenes. We do put a segment up daily from the shows. And it's generally, hey, could you make sure the one you recommend's a straight sports segment?
Straight sports.
And so we can give you a headline, give us a headline that fits, and then we'll put it up, and, you know, you want people to watch. I don't think this is something they're looking for.
I mean, it's all about sports.
Yeah,
we're talking about the Texans' offensive line performance. They dropped their nuts. What more do you want?
What do you want from us? I mean,
that's what Stephon Diggs said.
And in fact, it came from a player. It's not something we made up. It's from one of the more prominent players on the team.
This is us joking, having a couple ha-has.
Yeah, we didn't make this up.
No.
I mean, maybe the truck nuts thing didn't make up.
That is a sponsorship opportunity that we've just created for the station.
I mean, DJ Bianime comes in, and that segment is sponsored.
I thought you were going to say DJ also comes in.
No, that's Gallant and George. I don't need him involved in our nonsense. It won't help his career. But
God, no.
No, Willie Fritz's segments are sponsored. Josh Pate, who's on with John Lance on Wednesdays, that segment.
Todd Callis.
Todd Callis, why not have?
If we can sponsor a Todd Callis segment, why can't we sponsor a truck nuts?
Can someone reach out to the Texans? Hey, Stephon Diggs, come in here, and he can bring his offensive line buddy, who he ranked as the biggest dropper of the weekend, and they both come in. We'll have a conversation, and Stephon Diggs presents the awards.
Yeah, like half a segment.
Yeah,
and then...
You don't have to be, guys. You don't have to be here for 11 minutes.
Yeah,
you're in here for like 5-6 minutes. You walk in,
you're a
busy out.
Guy, I get it.
Someone cuts you a check for being on the segment. Bang, we're good. Trailer will in frame. Don't you guys like sales, that stuff? I think.
Yeah, that's an issue at least I'm having right now. I mentioned car toys. I don't know if car toys actually you can get truck nuts there. I don't believe it or not, I haven't been in the market for truck nuts.
It is a surprise that you don't know all there is to know about truck nuts.
Yeah. Maybe one day if I do get a truck, I'll get truck nuts.
Sure.
Just because it feels like the right thing to do. But yeah, we're going to need research to get on that. Who's
our researcher? Who's going to be our researcher? But there it is. Stephon Diggs with colorful language to credit his offensive line for what was a really good performance running the football.
Maybe a tight end can win it every once in a while.
Depends.
Kate Stover really dropped his.
I wouldn't rule it out. If he has a couple punishing blocks on the edge to secure.
British Brooks.
We know he had a big hit in the game.
Yeah, I was going to say he had a big tack kit. Is it only blocking? Or
yeah, because
okay.
How this originated is Stephon Diggs complimenting the offensive line.
Okay, so we don't want
to
go.
It does
far
have
from
to be part of the running game.
Okay,
and then generally, I want to stick with complimenting an offensive lineman.
Do they offensive player get all the accolades?
Is it on a chain and they put it around their neck, or is it simply like a trophy? What do you think?
Good question.
I don't know if they want it near their chin.
No, you can't put it on.
It has to be a trophy.
You can't put it on.
Nah, you're right. It has to be a trophy. Yeah.
Like one of those sports trophies that you get.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the sponsors, wherever you get those sports trophies.
Who's going to make that? Who's going to want to make that? I guess if we tell them Stephon Diggs, he's not, by the way, just to be clear. If we tell them one of the Texans is attached to it. I'm sure they would want to make it.
Wait, so we have to attach some Stephon Diggs to these nuts?
No, I'm saying you'd have to tell them, hey, this Stephon Diggs is going to come on every week.
Yeah.
And tell them. I don't think they just want to make one of those for us. We have to give them a little boost. Hey, you're going to be mentioned and Stephon Diggs will be a part of it.
Got to wet the beak. I got it.
Yeah, we got to lure them in as opposed to just, hey.
You can't just drop them right on the table.
No, you want to be associated with these two idiots making a trophy for them? No, they don't want to do that. All right. I didn't know we were going to go there, but I appreciate that we did. Haven of Nonsense, you know what it is. We got one more segment to go before we wrap it up. And we will hear from someone very serious, slightly, particularly compared to what we just did. But before we wrap it up, Sean, don't you have to talk about something?
Yes. Not only can Texans win something in this hypothetical award we just made up, but you can win something very real. Specifically money, if you go to Prize Picks. Download the number one daily fantasy app in all of the United States of America. All you have to do is build a lineup, choose more or less on different player projections. They have combos. They have, even if you're late to a game, you can do second half more or lesses. There's plenty of opportunities for you to win money. They are doing, I've told you about the Caleb Williams more 0.5 yards for every week in the month of September. They also do a baseball Taco Tuesday promo. This time it's Zach Gallen strikeouts more than 3.5. I think the normal line was 5.5. So they give you a little something, like we're saying, wet the beak. You can get your beak wet if you go and download the Prize Picks app today and use code MAPES, M-A-P-E-S, and get $50 instantly when you play $5. That's code MAPES to Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even have to win to get your money. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So we've kind of gone the whole show without mentioning anything in college football, which is not usually what we do. And there isn't really anything noteworthy beyond the rankings that came out on Sunday. Texas is up to number 2 in the country. Their impressive win over Michigan, vaults them there. Got some first place votes for the Longhorns. More than I think that did they have any before this week? They have four now. Georgia's still the, obviously the
I don't remember if they.
I can
if
always,
they got one or two.
I can always look up week two. They have four. Ohio State has two. Georgia with the bulk of them at 54. So the Longhorns. Longhorns did not have any first place votes in the AP poll. They did have one in the coaches poll last week, but now they get four up to number two, and rightfully so. Now, Ohio State looks sharp against Western Michigan, but it is not Michigan that they look sharp against. They beat a MAC team, which proved to be tough for a certain top five team earlier in the day, that team being Notre Dame. So I think that vault by Texas is justified. You would say at this point, they have the most impressive win of the year. Now, it could turn if Michigan continues to play they played when all of a sudden it won't be so impressive. But Texas will get credit because we all know how this will go. Even if Michigan turns into like a 8-4 football team, 7-5 because of their offensive issues, Texas, because of their brand, will get credit for going into Michigan and winning. People are willing to give Texas credit, and rightfully so right now for that game. It could mean less later, but they will continue to get credit for that. The rest of the top five is Ohio State, Alabama, who struggled against USF. Ole Miss, Missouri starts the rest of the top 10. Missouri at 6, Tennessee at 7, Penn State at 8, Oregon at 9, Miami at 10. We haven't addressed this on the show, but I do like to be accountable sometimes. We have thrown plenty of slander at Drew Aller. Sean and I. Sean has directed some of it at James Franklin, too. And rightfully so.
You're still on my list, James Franklin.
Yeah, he's not off. Go win a playoff game.
Yeah, before beating West Virginia and Bowling Green.
Yes, but congrats. Drew. But they did hire a new OC, and Drew Aller looks better. A lot more shots down the field that he's connecting on. And is Penn State dangerous? Now it still feels like they have a two-game season. Because that's always what Penn State's about. It's generally been Ohio State and Michigan, who they never beat. But Michigan doesn't appear to be a hindrance, and frankly, they don't play Michigan, so don't have to worry about it with how the Big Ten has changed. At USC, home to Ohio State. USC, after their easy win over Utah State, is now the 11th team in the country. They have to go to L.A. on October 12th, and then they host Ohio State. After a bye, they face Wisconsin, then they go to Ohio State. So that's the run for Penn State. Now, with the 12-team playoff, they could probably lose two. They could probably lose both those games to USC and Ohio State. As long as they're not blown out, they would have a shot, although the rest of their schedule is not great, so they won't have any real impressive wins. But still a two-game season. But I feel a little bit better about Penn State considering what I've seen from Drew Aller, but as Sean correctly mentioned, and you always got to protect yourself when you've thrown slander at other people. It's West Virginia and Bowling Green, who you barely beat. You barely beat Bowling Green. But Drew Aller, good for him. Still, apparently, from watching the broadcast, still a guy NFL people love because of his big arm. Hadn't showcased itself as far as productivity in his early career, but things may have changed with a change at OC. So that's kind of your breakdown of your top 10. We didn't get a lot into it, but Arkansas and Oklahoma State, who look like two teams dead in the water early. They found a way to turn it around, although Arkansas losing that game to Oklahoma State is nuts. But Kansas State, I didn't mention Kansas State. Kansas State at Tulane. That's the other one, where the Big 12 was in a lot of trouble early, and they found a way. Kansas State won it in a way that you expect. Scoop and score from their defense, turn that game around. And then Arkansas just tricked off their game.
They had no business losing that game. They lost in a way that you expect Arkansas to lose. And
particularly when that coach... When Pittman's on the hot seat, it looks like you're going to get a top 20 win on the road against a Big 12 team. You're controlling that game.
I think they're up like 21.
You look far more athletic than them. They just look – I mean, I don't want to get into praising the SEC. You already got an SEC guy in there. But they just look like a middling SEC school who just look better athletically than a good Big 12 school, at least the rankings would suggest. And it turned around because Arkansas is bad for a reason. That's the reason Pittman's going to get fired.
Bad teams lose, and a lot of times they lose games more than the other team wins them.
And that was one of those games.
Yes. There's so many dumb penalties, so many just terrible mistakes.
Yeah. They lose the game in double OT 39-31. And if you look at the stats, like, you look at the numbers, man. Arkansas, I'm bringing them up right now just to make sure, but Arkansas outgained Okie State by nearly 250 yards. Found their way into overtime and lost. 648-385. You gained 648 yards on the road in a game. You lose is nuts. Nuts. And that's what Arkansas did.
So as that game was getting close in the fourth quarter, and I was having to watch Davis Warren still go out there and try his best, I had a little bit of like, man, I kind of wish they would just wrap this up I can just watch the Arkansas. Yeah,
knew the game was wrapped up, like, but you just wanted to watch it to the final whistle.
I forgot if I told you or if I told Paul and Joe this, but like at a certain point, I just stopped having fun.
It's not
like,
fun anymore.
It was like going into Michigan and winning like that. It was fun. It was cool, but in the moment, mid to late third quarter, where I'm just like, there's nothing else to gain from this game.
When Michigan's not really a rival of yours, like if you're beating Oklahoma that way, you'd be great. Just watch Oklahoma be awful. But
yeah.
Like what happened to me with Florida, that game was over in the third quarter, but watching Florida be futile in the fourth was awesome. But when you're playing Michigan, you have no real connection with them.
49-0 against Oklahoma is way more entertaining.
Yeah. Than 31-12.
31-12. Yeah. And I think they scored 24 before half.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was 21.
It became let's run off the clock and get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
At that point.
Hope no more running backs get hurt.
Yeah, exactly.
Get out of here.
Let's turn this into 7-on-7. Not like it would help because Davis Warren sucks when it comes to throwing the football. Okay. Before we wrap up, I mentioned this. Let's get to this out of Cleveland. This is from the Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima show. I forgot what the official title is, but those are the two hosts. I remember this station doesn't have a place in my heart, but I did interview for a job there at one point, like 3 years ago. So I always when something happens with that station, it kind of just clicks with me. So I want to hear it. This is them reacting to their first call on Monday after Cleveland was terrible, and specifically Deshaun Watson.
216-474-0092. You ready to go to the phones?
Sure.
All right. Dave in Macedonia, you're first up on the Fan. Hello.
Good morning, boys.
All right.
He's quoting Daniel Caffey. Please.
Very confusing start.
There's two numbers. You'll figure them out. 42.9. 144.
What is all this?
Watson's quarterback rating, Mayfield's quarterback rating.
Oh, Christ. I can't do this one more second.
That's enough. The first call out of the box, we're going to do this. The very first call out of the box, we're going to do this.
I know what his quarterback rating was. I know that he was good. Guys, I'm not doing it right out of the damn box. Can I have a little bit of time before we do this? Can I have a little bit of time? That he ain't coming home. He ain't coming back. Only to play us. That's it. He had a great day down there. Congratulations on all his success. I can't undo the trade. I can't undo it.
Just to let you guys know, there's somebody in Cleveland who's always more miserable than you. And you know why. And, of course, there's another lawsuit regarding the quarterback in question. So we feel lucky to watch the Texans. Although there were some miserable years, but things are different now. We don't have to deal with what Cleveland is dealing with and be thankful for that. We're done. Gallant and George are up next, followed by the Killer Bees. And that means what, Sean?
We did it!
We did. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you got to do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're going to give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two forts of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.